ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 23 टेक्स्ट नंबर 52। आत्मा यदि स्यात् सुख दुख हेतु, किमान्यतस्तत्र निजस्वभाव नयात्मनो यदि तन्मृषा स्यात्। क्रुध्येत कस्मान्न सुखं न दुःखम्, आत्मा यदि स्यात् सुख दुःख हेतु, किमान्यतस्त्र निज स्वभाव नयात्मनोऽन्यद्यदि तन्मृषा स्यात्। क्रुध्येत कस्मान्न सुखं न दुःखम्, आत्मा यदि स्यात् सुख दुःख हेतु, किमान्यतस्तत्र निज स्वभाव नयात्मनोऽन्यद्यदि तन्मृषा स्यात्। क्रुध्येत कस्मान्न सुखं न दुःखम्, आत्मा द सोल हिमसेल्फ यदि इफ स्यात् शुड बी सुख दुःख ऑफ हैप्पीनेस एंड डिस्ट्रेस हेतु द कॉज केम व्हाट अन्यतः अदर तत्र इन दैट थियोरी निज हिज ओन स्वभाव नेचर न नॉट He indeed Atmana then the soul Anyat anything separate Yadi if Tat that Mrisha false Syat would be Krudheta One can become angry. Kasmat at whom? No, there is no. So calm, happiness. No, nor do calm, misery. Translation: If the soul himself were the cause of happiness and distress, then we could not blame others, since happiness and distress would be simply the nature of the soul. According to this theory, nothing except the soul actually exists. And if we were to perceive something besides the soul, that would be illusion. Therefore, Since happiness and distress do not actually exist in this concept, why become angry at oneself or others? Please repeat. If the soul himself were the cause of happiness and distress, then we could not blame others. Since happiness and distress would be simply the nature of the soul. According to this theory, nothing except the soul actually exists. And if we were to perceive something besides the soul, that would be illusion. Therefore, since happiness and distress do not actually exist in this concept, why become angry at oneself or others? Purport. Because a dead body does not feel pleasure or pain, our happiness and distress are due to our own consciousness, which is the nature of the soul. It is not, however, the original function of the soul to enjoy material happiness and suffer material distress. These are produced by ignorant material affection and enmity based on false ego. Our involvement in sense gratification drags our consciousness into the material body, where it is shocked by the inevitable bodily pains and problems. On the spiritual platform, there is neither material happiness nor distress, because there the living consciousness is fully engaged without personal desire in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord. This is the actual position of happiness, aloof from false bodily identification. Rather than uselessly becoming enraged with others for one's own foolishness, one should take to self-realization and solve the problems of life. So we are studying here from the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 23, describing the situation with a special Brahman whose history has been narrated by Lord Sri Krishna to Uddhava. And Lord Krishna is, why is he mentioning particularly about this Brahmana, Avanti, Brahman of Avantipur? That is also being described here. So today's verse and in general the situation we will discuss, and if you have any questions or comments, you can also address them. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So what is described here is the characteristic of the soul. Soul and body, that is the main topic in the spiritual circles. And even in the 11th canto, Lord Krishna is emphasizing this particular point by discussing the history of the Avanti Brahmana. What is the history of Avanti Brahmana? He was a rich man, and because of his nature, he became poor by circumstances, by his own karma, by the acts of other people, etc. He became extremely poor. He was rejected by the society, by the friends, by the family members, everybody. So, in a destitute situation, giving up his home and family, everything, he became a beggar. And he went through various conditions of life. Beggar's life in general is not a very happy life. But in his case, he was a bhikshu beggar. He actually became a sannyasi beggar. Beggar not like an ordinary beggar on the street, but a very special kind of beggar. Sannyasi is supposed to be a bhikshu. Bhikshuk. So Shukdeva Goswami and Lord Krishna, they're describing him as a bhikshuk, sannyasi. And as a sannyasi, he was going to the village to ask for food or grocery. And there is a description how he was treated by people. He was insulted, humiliated, and abused physically, even tortured, beaten up by sticks. So many difficulties he endured from the unscrupulous man. Plus the severe heat and severe cold weather, rain, etc. And undergoing unbearable suffering that any person could easily break in this kind of situation. But he proved himself to be a very special category person. Because after losing everything in the material world, he realized only one thing, that now my life has become a total loss. And in this total losing battle, the only way I can gain any benefit out of this human form of life is if I take shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. He is the savior of the poor people, the wretched people. Dina Bandhu, Dina Dayal. He's very merciful, especially. Krishna is Jagadhitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namanama. Krishna is well-wisher and friend of everyone, but specially he showers his mercy on someone who is totally wretched, and that person comes to Krishna. So Krishna becomes very happy and blesses that person, showers mercy upon him. So therefore he is called Deen Dayal. So knowing this, his good intelligence woke up. So far, his intelligence was sleeping. But after going through this situation, his intelligence came up. And he decided, now I'm not going to do anything else but to perform the loving devotional service of lotus feet of Lord Krishna. So this chapter is called the Song of the Avanti Brahmana. So it's a beautiful song, and we are discussing this text number 52 today, where the Avanti Brahman, when he was mistreated by people, unscrupulous man, he did not retaliate. Normally, person would retaliate if he is abused, insulted, or physically attacked. Anybody would like to give an answer to that kind of treatment, mistreatment. But but here, he's not doing that. He is saying that actually there is no fault on these people. These people, they haven't done anything wrong whatsoever. Why? Because I am the spirit soul, and they don't even know me as a spirit soul. So how can they hurt me or damage me or do anything bad to me? There is no even contact point between us. Physically, whatever happens, it happens. There are so many different factors, things that happen. So he is presenting all these different reasons here. And he is giving the highest knowledge after this realization that is arising in his heart. So that is what we are studying. And what are we learning from this? That if we undergo any kind of problem in life, how we can tackle with that problem? What is the solution when we come under difficult circumstances? Because he says happiness and distress, these are on the bodily platform. This material happiness or material distress has nothing to do with the spiritual platform or with the soul proper. The soul proper does not experience or undergo any kind of material situation. Soul is aloof. So Lord Krishna also says in second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, describing the qualities of the soul. You remember the qualities of the soul from second chapter. Na jayate mriyate va kadachi nayam bhutva bhavita avanabhuya. Ajo nityam shashvatoyam purano na hanyate hanyamane sharire. The soul does not have any birth or death or any kind of in-between situations. And therefore, Krishna says the soul cannot be burnt or dried up or you can mistreat the soul. None of these things are possible. You cannot cut the soul into pieces. All of these things are not possible. Soul has nothing to do with the material situation or material circumstances. So the people who are trying for material happiness, what is their situation? They are on the superficial bodily platform, and on the bodily platform they're trying to enjoy with their senses. As they try to enjoy more and more in the material world, dukkha yonaya evate. Adyanta vanta kauntaya na teshu ramate buddha. Krishna says, more they try to enjoy in this material world, the material happiness, dukkha yona, they are producing their own dukkha. They are producing, manufacturing their miseries. They'll have more and more bodies, more and more suffering coming up to them as they try to enjoy material happiness or material sense gratification. That is Krishna's verdict in Bhagavad Gita. So, this Avanti Brahmana, he is getting this perfect knowledge arising from him, from inside him. He is expressing this perfect knowledge of the soul, that one should not try to be on the bodily platform and try to retaliate or try to get back at somebody who mistreats you. Why? Because supposing if somebody does some harm to you or insults you or misbehaves with you or does some damage to your body, etc., and then you want to take a revenge, then in order to take the revenge, then you have to also wait for the proper opportunity, proper circumstances, so you can get back at him. So that waiting period, nobody knows how long you'll have to wait for that. When it will be favorable situation for you, he may be stronger right now and you may not be able to do anything right now. So you think, okay, then I'll wait one day when I get my chance to get back. So this waiting is recorded in your consciousness, and because of that, there is a karma bandhana. It binds you that now you want to do something to him. So you will have to wait in this life or next life whenever you get your chance. So this way you are prolonging your stay in the material world in the desire to get even with someone. Krishna says, Iccha dvesha samutena dvandva mohena bharata. Sargeya yanti. That this material creation, why people come here to this material world? Iccha. To fulfill their material desires and dvesha and for hatred. To express their envy or hatred. Dvesha means envy. So, why people do that? Iccha and dvesha. Material desire and hatred. The one example we can learn from how it happens is a very prominent example given in the Mahabharata. How many of you know Mahabharata? Have you studied Mahabharata? Yes? Yes? Mahabharata is the Bhagavad Gita is spoken in Mahabharata, right? So, there is the, in Mahabharata, there is the Pandava five brothers who are good people, devotees of the Lord, pure devotees. And others are the 100 brothers, the cousins, headed by Duryodhana. So this Duryodhana is very wicked person. He has all the bad qualities and bad character. And the main problem Duryodhana has that he does not like the Pandavas, and specifically he does not like Yudhishthira Maharaj, the eldest of the five brothers. And he's always making plans to kill them, to harass them, to torture them. Why? Because he wants to usurp the kingdom that Yudhishthira Maharaj had from his father Pandu. Because of this, the whole battle of Kurukshetra is taking, Mahabharata war is taking place. But this Duryodhana, his character, is filled with envy and hatred for Yudhishthira Maharaj. Day and night, he cannot get peace of mind. He's always in distress. Why? Because of this hatred. His heart is burning all the time. This envy and hatred that is harassing Duryodhana. And that character is expressed, which explains Bhagavad Gita's Lord Krishna's explanation, how people, they get involved in this karma bandhana or karma bandhana phasa, this bondage of repeated birth and death. People get tied up into problems, life after life. Why? Because of staying on the bodily platform. So, some people say, okay, I am not in the bodily platform. I am higher. I am on the mental platform. So, is the mental platform better? It may be slightly better than the bodily platform. Mentally, maybe you may be feeling more peaceful if you are on the mental platform, or you may feel a little bit relief because you are not performing so many bodily things and trying to control on a mental platform. But that is not the answer. So someone can say, okay, then I can be on the intellectual platform. So the intellectual platform also can give you some more relief. But that will not solve the problem. What will solve the problem? That is to be found out. So you have to go deeper or inward more and more, beyond the mental and intellectual platform. That is the soul platform or self-realization platform. The word swabhava is used here. You have to achieve your own bhava, your own nature, your spiritual, your divine nature. You have to find it out. then your problem can be solved. There is a story about one beggar. One day he decided that he wants to be very rich, the richest man. So he said, I will go in the busy market and set up my corner on one side where people are coming and collect all the money, whatever they give me. And I will not spend the money. I'll collect every day. And one day I'll be very rich man. So he had this idea. He was a poor man, but then he decided like that, became a beggar, and he sat down. So month after month he is collecting. People looking at him, his wretched situation, gave money. So he was thinking, one day maybe one rich man will come and give me lots of money and I can become very rich. So in this hope, he is spending his days and months and years. And after begging for a long time, then he became old and died. So when he was dead, then the municipality people, the cleaning people, they came, the sidewalk where he was sitting. The place was so dirty and filthy. So they had to clean up the place. As they were cleaning up and all the dirt they were taking out and they were digging the dirt out. And as they were digging, they saw the shining gold pots filled with gold coins. So much of wealth, gold, treasure was underneath where this beggar was sitting and asking for a few rupees or a little bit of money he was getting. But he did not know that there was so much of wealth right under where he was sitting. So similarly, someone who is looking for material happiness or solutions on a superficial platform, bodily platform, trying and struggling every day, month after month, year after year, whole life, and dies, he gets nothing. He can't solve his problem. He's back to square one again. He has to face the same kind of problems. But if he goes deeper on the spiritual, on the soul level, then he can find the treasure. What is that treasure? That treasure is the greatest blessing or benediction that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came 500 years ago, right? And he is giving the highest benediction. Anarpita charim chirat karunya avatirna kalau samarpayitam unnata ujjwala rasa swabhakti shriyam harihi purata sundara dyuti kadamba sandipita sada hridaya kandare spuratu shri sachinandana. Sachinandana, that is son of mother Sachi, Sachi Mata's son. Anarpita charim chirat. This kind of blessing is not given for a very long time. How much long time? 8.6 billion years. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Krishna even, he does not give this kind of swabhakti shriyam. This blessing is Lord Krishna or any of his incarnations, they don't give. Nobody gives. Only when Krishna takes up the mood and complexion of Radharani, and in that mood he gives this blessing, swabhakti shriyam. So that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving, but who will take it? If somebody says, I don't want it, not right now, then he will not get it. If somebody says, I already have it, then also he will not get it. Who will get this topmost benediction? If somebody says that, I don't want anything, my dear Lord, I only want your blessing that you are giving, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If anybody prays to him, that I don't want anything else, but I just want the blessing that you are giving, that's the only thing. So then he does not have to wait for another 8 billion years when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will come back again. He can solve his problem and get the highest benediction right away, right now. So that is the spiritual level or the soul level that is being discussed here by the Avanti Brahmana. This is Purushottam month going on right now. It has started. The best month in India, people, they perform charities, dan punya. They want to collect lot of punya. So, lot of japa, tapa, punya, dan, etc. Why? Because this is Purushottam month, is not different from Lord Krishna. He is the Purushottam. And every 3 years, one time, Purushottam month comes. So, anybody who takes advantage of Purushottam by studying Bhagavad Gita Bhagavatam, by chanting Hare Krishna, as much as possible, more and more, by worshipping the deity, by serving the devotees, performing bhakti yoga, then he gets the best blessing of the Lord for the whole month, that you cannot get it throughout the whole year. That much of blessings you can get just in 1 month. So this month is considered the most auspicious month of Purushottam. Just like the month of Kartik is also the most auspicious because it represents Srimati Radharani. So similarly, Purushottam month is the representation of Lord Sri Krishna. And by performing bhakti yoga very nicely all the time, devotees can collect tons and tons of blessings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Otherwise, in this verse as it is described, there is only soul in this world, but people don't see the soul. What do they see? They see the Maya, external energy of the Lord. Bhagavatam, first verse. What is the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. I offer my obeisances to Lord Krishna, Vasudeva. Janmadyase yaton vayaditartas chartesh vabhigya swarat. Tene brahmaridaya adhikavaya muhyanti yatsurya. Tejo vari mridam yatha vinimayo. Yatra trishargo mrisha damna svena sada nirast kuhakam. Satyam param dhimahi. You are the supreme, original supreme personality of Godhead. I offer my obeisances to you, Lord Krishna. Everything is coming from you. Everything is emanating from you. You are maintaining everybody. And this material energy looks so wonderful because it is your energy, external energy. And people are illusioned by this illusory potency of yours. Even Lord Brahma and the demigods and the great sages, they are all muhyanti, they are all in illusion, under the snare of your material illusory potency. Just like if there is water and somebody sees fire there, or there is land and you see water. In the desert you can see, sometimes if you go in the desert in the hot sun, you can see the mirage. What do you see in the mirage? There is land, there is no water, but you see the water. A lake, nice lake filled with water. So, Bhagavatam is describing that this material world is like that. It is the perverted reflection of the spiritual world. And people, they get snared into this by the illusory potency and they remain on the bodily platform. But whoever takes the blessings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and taking up the blessings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he starts chanting Hare Krishna. He starts studying Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. Then he can get the full benefit of the blessings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, blessings of Srila Prabhupada, blessings of the Guru Maharaj, blessings of the Vaishnavas. So I will stop here. If you have any questions or comments, you can address anything that comes to your mind related to this verse today. You've been paying attention. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah. Nature of the soul is to be a servant, yes. We understand it theoretically, but the action is not always there. Sometimes we like to think that we are not the servant, we are the master. I can order you around. What kind of... I am not servant, you are my servant. I'm your master. That kind of feeling can come. Yes? How one can always act in the mood of the servant. Yes, that idea first comes, but there is the samskara or there is the impressions in the subconscious mind for that are collected for so many years or so many lifetimes in our mind, in our consciousness. This impression is that I am the master and I am the lord of everything I survey. Everybody is supposed to be my servant. Even when I take birth as a dog, I'm still thinking I'm the owner of this whole street. Or if I'm in the house, then I'm thinking these people, this husband and wife, they are going every day to work for me. They're doing the job. And this is my house. I'm enjoying the house. I'm just dog sitting on the sofa. But I'm thinking I'm the owner of this house. So this consciousness does not go away regardless of what body I take. It's always there, that I am the master and people are my servants, everybody is my servant. I can kill animals, I can do anything I want. Everything is for my enjoyment. So in order to, now, see, this is a paradigm shift. Now you're trying to change the whole concept. You're trying to come to the real understanding that actually, when I was a dog, I was not the master. I was just simply a dog. I was thinking in a wrong way. Or even when I was a demigod or a demon or whatever species of life I went, I was thinking in the wrong way. Now I have to correct my thinking. First, that is the first thing required. So all the previous ideas that are stored in the mind have to be deleted, just like you delete the email or messages that are not good. You don't want to open the emails. Hundreds of emails may be coming to you every day, but you don't want to open every one of them. So similarly, the wrong ideas you want to delete from your mind. So mind is like a mechanical instrument. So you can delete it. If you train your mind, that delete this idea that I am the master, delete. Every time the mind says I am the master, delete. No. You're not the master. You are the servant. So then gradually the mind understands that, yes, actually I am the servant, not the master. So that's why we are given. First understanding comes when we accept that I am the servant of the Guru Maharaj when we take initiation from the spiritual master. And he gives the spiritual name that now you are servant, eternal servant of Krishna. So that time we understand that I am the servant of Krishna and Guru. And because I am servant of Krishna and Guru, I am also servant of all the Vaishnavas, all the devotees. So that understanding gradually develops in the mind, and as you have deleted all the rest of the ideas, the other ideas, you just put them aside and delete them or ignore them. Don't pay any attention to wrong ideas, becoming the master or whatever. Just don't pay attention. And you only focus and concentrate your activities, your purpose, your mission in life is to how I can become a good servant of my Guru Maharaj, how I can make him happy by becoming a good servant. Then gradually by practicing, Krishna says practice abhyasena. By practicing, you can become a very good servant. You can, and when you are a perfect servant, then you become the spiritual master. You can teach others also how to become a good servant. So it is a, it can happen immediately or it can take some time. Depends on how much with eagerness and how much hard work you want to put into this idea. How much you are anxious to get to that platform of servitorship. That I am the humble menial servant of my Guru Maharaj and the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord. That is the practice. That is the whole bhakti yoga process. Is the purpose is just this. So how we can become good, humble menial servant of the spiritual master. And the spiritual master says, you will become like that if you chant properly Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So if we focus on chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra as taught by the Guru Maharaj, spiritual master, as taught by Prabhupada, as taught by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we pick up their mood of chanting Hare Krishna, then gradually we become good servant. All right? Thank you very much. Anything else? Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.